Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back. Once again, this is the Voices of New Africa. I am your host, Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy. And you are listening to the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people, where we will be discussing topics that are relevant to new African people in our strive, our struggle for nationhood, for independence, for land, for self-government and socialist revolution. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. But we want to start the same way we always start the show. We want to talk about, we want to shed light on, we want to shine the spotlight on those individuals, those organizations, and those events that were significant in the struggle for liberation of new African people. We do this every week because we don't want to simply shine a spotlight on our history, our great liberators, and our heroes and sheroes only on Black History Month. We do this 365 days a week. So today, we want to honor one of the great revolutionaries, one of our great comrades, sisters in the struggle for the liberation of new African people, Sister Asata Shakur. So, in brief, Asata Shakur was born July 16, 1949. She was a member of the Black Panther Party in the BLA, the Black Liberation Army. In 1973, Shakur was involved in a deadly shootout in New Jersey that resulted in the murder of one of her comrades, Malik Shakur. Now, the shootout was with New Jersey police. It resulted in the murder of Malik Shakur, and Sister Asata herself was shot several times. Now, this confrontation, this battle, also resulted in the death of a New Jersey state trooper. Now, this resulted in her being convicted of murder, to go to prison, sentenced to prison. And in 1975, with the aid of her comrades in the Black Liberation Army, she was liberated from prison. She escaped. And in 1984, she fled to Cuba, in which she received political asylum, where she lives there today. So, instead of me just carrying on about Sister Asata Shakur, what I want to do is I want to let you hear from Sister Asata herself. This is Sister Asata Shakur in her own words. Yes, hold on, let me try to play the audio.
My name is Asata Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country, where I realized that Black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies, to destroy the black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment and imprisoned. Is that justice? I was tried by an all-white jury without even the pretext of impartiality and then sentenced to life in prison plus 33 years. Is that justice? Let me emphasize that justice for me is not the issue I am addressing here. It is justice for my people that is at stake. When my people receive justice, I am sure that I will receive it too.
And we are back. That was Sister Asada Shakur in her own words, a political prisoner who is now living in Cuba as a political refugee. And on this day, we want to honor, we want to celebrate, we want to uphold the legacy of our great sister in the struggle, our great comrade, Sister Asada Shakur. We want to welcome everybody back to the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. That leads us to our topic for today. We want to talk about nationhood. As you heard the sister say, she still advocates for revolutionary change in America. So we want to talk about what that change looks like. We want to talk about nationhood. We want to talk about establishing an independent new African nation. What is nationhood? What does that look like? How can we obtain nationhood? So we want to jump right into this. I have a few of, oh yes, this weekend we're just getting back from Nation Day, and that's the day that we celebrate our independence as a new African nation in the Republic of New Africa. It started on March 31st, this March, and it actually wraps up a little later today. We still have comrades who have not made it back from that celebration yet. And as stated, with that, we want to talk about nationhood, the importance of nationhood. Why is nationhood so important? Well, with some of the comrades that have made it back, we want to welcome to the show Sister Ayodele. Sister Ayodele, are you there?
Yes, brother. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. First of all, I want to welcome you back from a wonderful Nation Day. What's your thoughts on nationhood in general? And how did you enjoy Nation Day, first of all?
Oh, it was very, very, very enlightening. It was good to know that there are other comrades around the country who are what we call conscious citizens of the Republic of New Africa, who wanted to come together and reason about some of our plans, strategy, and tactics on how to move forward with freeing the land, basically. So it was quite enlightening and uplifting. One of the things that we know that our nation is considered the five states in the South. We declared, we have a Declaration of Independence from 1968. We have a plan. We have a government. It's called the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. We do have what we call a plan for bringing citizens down to these five states in the South, living under a socialist government. We have our codes of behavior. And when we talk about, is there a need for nation? Yes, because we were taken from our motherland. We were brought here in chains. We were given, we weren't given the choice once so-called emancipation was put into effect, you know, as to returning, as to separating and moving to our own land, base here in America, Turtle Island. And we've been basically forced and indoctrinated to be under a capitalist system, a pseudo-Christian mentality as far as our spirituality, an educational system that was put into place to miseducate or to educate us into always being servants of an empire that promotes capitalism and imperialism. And so we have been fighting against this from the time we were put in chains. So at this point in time, it is come into fruition that there is a definite need. We're just part of the world movement that is against an empire that has wreaked havoc around the world. And we're doing our part. We're letting all people know you are automatically, if you are African, citizens of the Republic of New Africa. The question is whether you will become a conscious citizen and do whatever it is to make sure that you promote the nation, promote the race, promote socialism, and try to bring harmony and balance and goodwill, peace and contentment back to the world, as well as this landmass.
And that's a wonderful point. Just as you said, every African person, every black person, every new African, whatever it is that we want to call ourselves, every new African person in America, you're born as a citizen of the Republic of New Africa, because we have to understand clearly that the black nation exists, whether we are aware of it or not. And it existed before 1968. The black nation came into existence when we were forcibly uprooted from our motherland, brought to this country, and forced into chattel slavery. When we came here, we were from different groups, different nations, different tribes. We had different languages, different, you know, spiritual systems. But we were united, and we became a nation based on our common experience, our common oppressor, and our common oppression, which created what's called an oppressed, subjugated, colonized at the time, but now it's neo-colonized nation. In 1968, what the Republic of New Africa with the creation of the Republic of New Africa, we declared our nationhood. We declared our independence. We gave the black nation a name, and that is the Republic of New Africa. And I think one of the major objectives and obstacles that we have to as conscious members of the conscious citizens of the Republic of New Africa, one of the big things that we have to do is we have to make the black nation, the masses of the black nation, aware and conscious of the nation that already exists. So well said, and I want to welcome you back, because last week I know we had problems with you getting on the show. The line was full and you was not able to get into the show. So, you know, we welcome you back because we missed you, sister. But I want to continue. We want to go to my sister Sa'anxa Ma'at, who was also present at Nation Day yesterday. Are you there, sister? Sister Sa.
Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? Well, first of all, did you enjoy Nation Day? And you know, it is nationhood important? What's the relevance of us trying to establish an independent nation?
Yes, well, Nation Day was absolutely fabulous. It was good to see other brothers and sisters and elders and children all coming together, working to build our nation. It was just a beautiful experience, knowing what needed to be done, and everybody, they are willing and ready to do the work that's necessary, you know, and that was beautiful. That's really encouraging, especially when you have such a love for your people, and to see all of us coming together in love and working together is phenomenal. In terms of us needing a nation, like you mentioned before, and Mama Ayo mentioned before, our nation was created based upon our experience, right? When we were kidnapped from all of those different ethnic groups in Africa with our own language, our own spiritual systems, all of those different things that you mentioned, our own educational system, we became a nation based upon our experience, based upon being oppressed. According to international law, if a people are experiencing oppression, automatically they are a nation. And our ancestors, out of love, took it upon themselves to declare that for us, because they love us so much that they wanted to do that, because we needed it as a people to be free and self-determining. So,
exactly.
Nationhood is most definitely necessary. It's just from the basic needs of life. Everybody wants to, the basic pursuits of happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be able to be themselves, build on that, and work together in family and unity in terms of African people. That's our way of life, a social way of life. So it's just only natural to fight for that. It's natural to do whatever it is by any means necessary to do that. And of course, we need land to do that. So we have to free the land, so we can
exactly
be for ourselves, no, for our ancestors, for ourselves and our children's children. So that's our responsibility. That's our purpose. That's the greatest purpose on the planet.
Exactly, no doubt. And as you said, it's simply international law. According to the International Declaration of Human Rights, any people who have suffered long terms of oppression at the hands of another people have the right to sever the bonds with those people and proceed in any way we feel necessary in order to pursue happiness for our lives. So creating a nation is really simply common sense. It's really the only solution for the proper, for real liberation is the only solution for overcoming the exploitation of this system of white supremacy, imperialism, capitalism, neocolonialism. So that's well said, sister. And we also, one of the main objectives of Nation Day, or one of the main objectives that it should be for Nation Day, is to articulate the goals and the strategies for, you know, building a nation. So that's kind of what we want to talk about. How can we build a nation? What's really feasible? You know, what are some of the goals and objectives, you know, for the people who are just listening and they're just thinking and they're how are we going to do that? How can we establish an independent nation? People who are thinking that it is impossible. Do you have any thoughts on this, Sister Iodelli? Are you here, Sister Iodelli?
Breathing, I am, brother. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, what should we be doing now? You know, I mean, go ahead. There you go. No, I was like just saying. I'm gonna give it to you, sister. I'm shut up. It's on you.
Well, one of the things that we have to become, it says, is a conscious citizen. We have to understand. If we're looking at how our lives are, if we're looking at the state or the condition of African people here in America, we have to be making very objective observations about our conditions. Some of us are doing well. Some of us doing super well. Most of us are not. All of us are victims of a white supremacist system that is permeating, I will use that term, permeating through every system. When I say system, I mean whether it's education, whether it's medicine, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's business, economics, land, farming. There is racist, or what we call white supremacist systems, it put in place to keep us at the bottom of the economic chain here in America. And on top of it, if you are a person of African descent, you are African, you are being aggressed on doubly. First of all, you are being identified by the melanin in your skin, and of course, your economic, your class in which you fall. And we need to be able to look at it objectively and find out, well, there's some things that we need to do. There's some things that we need to start with is ourselves. We call it stepping outside of that box, regaining an African mindset, and which simply means you have to understand culture. We understand our spirituality. We understand the way in which we have our dynamics in the family, which it is supposed to be more cooperative. We understand our relationship with our brothers and sisters. We are not the enemies of one another. First of all, you have to identify, what is the enemy? Who is the enemy? How does the enemy put itself in place and make us feel that when I look at a person who looks like me, or when I look in the mirror, I hate myself, so therefore I have to hate others? So when you overcome, or you start working on that mindset, everything begins to open up as far as
Well, I don't know. I want my children to learn certain things. I want them to have a certain code of behavior. I want to be able to respect the elders. That is all part of African culture. And because we have been here in America and we have been indoctrinated with a European culture, food, language, we've gotten away from those things. It's particularly once integration was put into place. Some of those systems that we inherently did as African people kind of broke down because we wanted to integrate and assimilate and be like the oppressor man. So one of the things that we try to do is our relationship with this empire. We ran from the South where most of us were. Some people need to be thinking about coming back down to the five states in the South. We have declared this as the land in which we want to live, build, and to pass on to our children's 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 children. We are in the United Nations. We have declared this land. We are being recognized as a nation. And people who want to seek more information needs to look us up, look up the RNA, look at all of the political prisoners that remain in prison even today because they were a part of the Black Power movement, the Panther movement, the RNA movement, and look up their crimes and see how they are disproportionate. They don't equal their sentences, do not equal their crimes, and they remain languishing in these prisons even today. Those are our POWs. And also to begin as elders and teachers to remind our children of their blood, their historical responsibility is to be educated, to find their gift, and to put it to the service of the nation, the race. So those are some of the things. And we have brilliant minds who don't have an avenue for what we call our creativity. But when it's put to the service of the nation, that creativity, our economics. All you have to do is look up Black Wall Street. Look up some of the attempts of our people to be independent, to do business with one another, and see how they flourished. See how they flourished, and they were destroyed because this empire says categorically, we will not be allowed to be self-determining in that way. And I say, yes, we will. We say, as the Republic of New Africa, yes, we will, because not only are we declaring our independence from this empire, Africans around the world are declaring their intent to be separated and independent from imperialism and capitalism and live their own lives. So we're not in isolation. We just need, as a nation, to step up to the worldwide movement of other African nations, other nations that say capitalism and imperialism does not work. We want a socialist system, which is more what we call cooperative and egalitarian. So those are some of the things that I would ask brothers and sisters who are listening. Work on self, understand who you are as an African, what your gift is, what your blood responsibility is to the nation. Pass it on to your children. Hold them accountable for behaviors, for education, and put them into place and begin to reach out and start opening up your heart to understand that you and I are not the enemies of one another. There is an enemy that we need to be focusing on.
Exactly. And well said, you know. You know, to kind of sum it up, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to win our people over to the idea of independence. And that's actually stated in some of the writings of Sister Asada Shakoa's comrade, Brother Sundiata Okole. You know, in his writings, known as Some Solutions, you know, one of the first things to do in a 10-point program is to win the people over to the ideas and concepts of independence. Because if the people don't, if we don't, then, you know, we actually have no revolution. There is no revolution unless people understand why there is a need for a revolution. If people don't understand why there's a need for independence, for land, for self-government, for socialist revolution. So, you know, that's the first thing that we have to do is we have to educate all of our organizations, all our independent educational systems. We have to push the idea and the concepts of independence so we can win our people over to the ideas and concepts of independence. And if we do that, if we do that, we'll get it. We will gain our independence. It's really that simple. But I want to get to my sister, Ta'unk. So what do you think? And we're almost out of time, so, you know, I guess this will be kind of like a summation. So what do you think we should be doing in order to bring about nationhood, so we can bring it from just being some kind of concept or abstract idea, something we want to get, to something that is real, something that is concrete, something that we can benefit from? So, Sister Ta'unk, are you still there?
Yes, free the land. Some of the main things, like you both mentioned already, is getting it out to the people, so they can be conscious that, first of all, our nation exists, and understand our need for independence. You know, and people already, based upon their experiences, because majority of black people don't have great experiences, so it's not going to be difficult to win them over in terms of their experiences here in this neo-colonized system. It's not going to be difficult. All we have to do is be vigilant in terms of us getting the word out and be creative in getting the word out. We have to recognize and observe where our people are and how they're retaining information. You know, yes, we want to encourage reading, but the reality is most of our people don't read. So we have to use media, social media, music, just different forms and facets that we know that they tune into to get the word out, you know, and then let them know the plan that we have set in place, our social plan to take care of all people, no matter what your gift is or what have you, to take care of all people's food, clothing, shelter, education, and health care. That's the basic things that our nation is set up to do, everybody. So we just have to get the word out and make sure that the word gets out in the form that our people are receiving them in this day and time.
Exactly. Well said, sister. Well said. Well, we are just about out of time, and we want to thank everybody for joining us every week on the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. And in closing, I would just like to read just some of the 10-point strategy written by Santiago Okoli, you know, in order to gain our independence, our liberation, and establish nationhood here. So here. Of a 10-point strategy. Here's the 10-point strategy. Number one, we have to win black Africans over to the concepts and ideals of independence. As we all stated, we have to do that. That is important. Without that, then liberation, independence is impossible. It won't happen. We have to win our people over to the ideals and concepts of independence. Number two, build black independent institution and political formations. We must do this. We have to have independent institutions in our political formations that are not controlled by the government, that are not, you know, dependent upon sponsorships, that, you know, if you say something or do something or advocate something that is against, outside the box or against the mainstream European philosophical ideology and thought, they'll just take your funding away from you and shut you down. So we have to create our independent institutions in order to also spread the ideas and concepts of independence. Number three, we have to build a black army. And I'm going to say that again. We have to build a black army for the main purpose of defending our people from threats domestically and abroad, from the internal enemy and the external enemy. We cannot depend on our oppressor to give us justice. It makes no sense for our people to begin murdered by police officers time after time after time after time, and nothing ever happens. Our murderers are just left to go free. Many of them prosper from the murder of children, from our children. They get a book deal, movie deals. People donate, make them millionaires, while a family has lost their son, lost their teenager. they are celebrated, and there are no repercussions, there are no consequences, we have to establish a black army to defend our people against threats, both internally, because there is an internal enemy, there is a predator class that we have to be able to deal with, those who choose to be prey within our community, to prey on our people, practicing ghetto capitalism. If they cannot be transformed from that criminalistic mentality to a revolutionary mentality, then there needs to be a military force who can deal with them effectively. And as I continue, we have to create a national black united front. We have to create a national black united front. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to move kind of quickly. Number five, we must create domestic support for new African independence. We have to gain support from those individuals of the oppressed nation, whether that those are the Chicano, the Latino communities, Hispanic communities, whichever one they choose to be called, and other oppressed people, the Native American community, our Native American nation. So we have to gain domestic support for our liberation. We must fuse, number six, we must fuse the independent institutions into a national new African support system. Number seven, we must create centers of dual and contending governmental powers. And that is the job of the Republic of New Africa. Because New Africa, the Republic of New Africa, the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa acts as a legitimate government for those of us, for those new African citizens who choose to switch alliances from the empire to, you know, independence. Once we win our people over to the idea of independence, then we have to give them a government which they can call them their own, a government which will, you know, govern over independent districts once we get to the point where we are declaring independent districts. What's that? Number eight, we have to win international support for new African independence. And as was said earlier, people all over the globe, I mean, this is a global system of white supremacy. This is a global system of capitalism, a global system of imperialism, of colonialism that has been messing up, been destroying, exploiting the entire world. So once we allow align ourselves with this international struggle, we have to get international support for our struggle for independence. And being this is the UN has declared this as being the decade of people of African descent. You know, this is, you know, the time is right. The conditionings are ripening. Number nine, we must move the new African masses toward people's struggle, people's war for independence. That's pretty self-explanatory. And the last and the 10-point strategy for independence and liberation of new African people, we have to fight to win. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati. Join us next week at 10 o'clock on the Voices of New Africa, Free the Land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being.